One man said that prophecy is as sure as the rising and setting of tomorrow's sun. Is that true? Well, the answer is yes, and the answer is also no. It depends on whether the prophecy is what is called an unconditional prophecy, or whether it is a conditional prophecy. Now, there are unconditional prophecies that God made regarding the Messiah. For instance, God said, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. His name will be called Emmanuel." Prophecies concerning the Messiah were unconditional. They're going to come about. This is what God is going to do. Prophecy like this: "Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." That's an Old Testament statement. It's also used in the New Testament regarding Jesus Christ. And that statement is an unconditional prophecy. This is what God's going to do. There are no conditions for it. But there are times when a prophecy can seem to be so certain because God spoke it. And God spoke it through a true prophet. But it never happened. Or it never happened that way. Let me give you one example right here. This is in the book of 2 Kings chapter 20. Here it is. "In those days," the Bible says, "Hezekiah became mortally ill." I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. "Hezekiah became mortally ill, and Isaiah," now Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, "came to him and said," Isaiah was the true prophet of God. Isaiah wrote the book of Isaiah, or his prophecies are contained in it. "And he came, and God said to him," God spoke to him, "Thus says the Eternal." He's now speaking from God. He's telling Hezekiah, "Thus says the Eternal, set your house in order. You shall die and will not live." In other words, you're not coming off this bed. You're mortally ill. You're sick right now. You're not going to get better. You're going to die. Now, that comes from God himself, from God's certain direct prophet, true prophet. Well, Hezekiah heard it. He turned his face to the wall. He began to cry. He began to pray, saying, "Remember me now. Remember now, O Eternal, I beseech you, how I walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Now, Isaiah comes, he delivers this message: "Get your house in order. You're not going to get better from this disease. God has spoken to me. You're going to die." Walks out. Now, before Isaiah, verse 4, this is 2 Kings 20, verse 4, "Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle of the court, the word of the Eternal came to him, saying," go back there, "Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Eternal, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go to the house of the Eternal. I will add 15 years. Not only are you not going to die from this disease here, I'm going to give you 15 years that you can count on to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." Now here, a true prophet says you're going to die, and his prayer changed God's mind. I gave a sermon not too many months ago called "A Word That Can Change God." A word that can change God, and that word is prayer. Prayer. "I've heard your prayer." And God says, "I'm changing my mind now. I heard your prayers. I've seen your tears. I'm changing my mind." So when God gives a pronouncement to nations, individuals, they're almost always conditional. You remember when God pronounced on Ahab? I mean, who could be more wicked than Ahab? And God says, you know what? It's going to happen where I'm taking it away from you. All your descendants are going to die. You're going to see your children, your sons, and I'm taking all this, and this destruction is all going to happen in your day. But Ahab turned and he wept sore, and God says, well, I'm not going to do the evil. I changed my mind. I'm not going to do the evil in his day. I'm going to do the evil in his son's days. Here's another great prophet. I mean, true prophet. I don't know about how great, but true prophet of God. Okay. He's told to go to Nineveh. He runs away and jumps on a ship. I don't want to go there. I'm not going to deliver this message. Go to Nineveh and tell them I'm going to destroy this city. Well, God finally gets him by a fish, vomits him up on the shores of Nineveh, and here he comes. Notice what it is in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to begin Jonah 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Eternal came. See, it's the word of God coming to Jonah. It came to Jonah a second time now. And this is what he says. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. So Jonah arose, he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Eternal. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. It will be no more. Now you hear this prophecy. Here's a true prophet. Is he a true prophet? Yes. Does he come from God? Yes. Is that what God said? Yes. Is that what happened? No. What happened? Well, the people heard it. The word reached the king of Nineveh. He called a fast. He went, I don't want anybody eating, not man, not beast, not woman, nobody. He's going to eat anything. They're going to cover everything with sackcloth. Don't let him drink any water. Don't let him eat any food. And we're going to turn away from our ways. We're going to straighten up here. Each of us turn from his wicked ways and from the violence which is in this city. All the violence that are in your hands in verses 8 and 9. And then the king says, who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. Maybe if we change here, I mean, God's going to, this Elohim, all through this word, if the word is Elohim, it's not Yahweh, is not used here. Why? Because Yahweh is the God of Israel. And when they said it, they're going to say Elohim. Elohim is going to be, he's going to do this. So, verse 10, when Elohim saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked ways, then Elohim relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Well, Jonah was greatly displeased. Chapter 4, verse 1. He's upset. I'm angry. He prayed to the Eternal, please just kill me. This is what I knew would happen. This is why I ran from this. I knew that this is going to happen. Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, and then because I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one, listen to this last phrase, one who relents concerning calamity. Relents concerning calamity. Why does God threaten? Why does God say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to destroy this. I'm going to wreck this. I'm going to destroy this entire city. They change. You relent concerning calamity. When people get that message and they change, well, what's the purpose of sending this message? So that people will repent. prophecies regarding calamity to individuals, to nations, to cities, are done for one major reason: to get people to change, to relent and stop. You remember he pronounced a complete destruction. He said, "I've had it with Sodom and Gomorrah down there. Those nations, I'm going to destroy them." Well, Abraham says, "I'm going to tell you, Abraham, what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy these cities." And Abraham said, "Well, wait a second. Would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? That's not fair. You won't. You're the God of the earth. You have justice. You're not going to do that." Well, God, and Abraham said, "Well, suppose there are 50 righteous. Would you destroy the whole city and kill these 50 righteous people?" God said, "Look, if there are 50 righteous, I won't destroy it." Abraham thinks, "Well, what about 45 righteous? Would you destroy it for 45? God said, "For 45, I won't destroy it." "Hey, what about 40? Would you destroy it for 40? God says, "If you find 40, I won't." Well, Abraham keeps going. "How about 30? How about 20? How about, please forgive me one more time, how about for 10 righteous, would you destroy it?" And God said, "If you find 10 righteous, I will not destroy it." Couldn't find 10 righteous, just Lot. Lot and his family, and let's get them out of here and get them out fast. And Mrs. Lot was not all that righteous either. But off they went. So the destruction came because he couldn't find it. Now here's the principle. And this should be, for each of us, a tremendous positive thing. Because you and I, can control our own destiny regarding what God's going to do to us. Here's the principle, and it's down, and don't forget it, it's here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, beginning in verse 7. God says, "At one moment I might speak concerning a nation, or concerning a kingdom, to uproot it, to pull it down, or to destroy it." I make a pronouncement. I'm going to speak against that nation. Verse 8, "If that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I planned to bring on it." I'll make a pronouncement. I'm going to destroy that nation. Here's my prophecy. I'm going to destroy it. They relent. They change. Oh, okay. You see, God is basing his actions on what we as people do when he has these pronouncements. Unless it's an unconditional prophecy, this part of God's plan to bring this about, then if it's unconditional, God's going to do it. But if it's a conditional prophecy based on punishments and so on, God is conditional. He changes based on what we do. Or he says in verse 9, "Or at another moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build it up, to plant it, to establish it." In other words, I'm going to build this nation up. It's going to make it great. It's going to do well. But if it does evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will think better of the good which I had promised to bless it. I'll think again. In other words, I'll change both ways, either from establishment of good to establishment not so good. So here's this conditional situation. When God pronounces calamity or God pronounces blessings, God will change based on what? How will God change about you? Based on what you do. Based on how you act. You think you're accepted? You think any of us is accepted 100%? That there cannot be anything? Well, what if you don't act right? What if you change the way you behave? What if you became cruel and hateful and murderous and idolatrous and everything else? What happens then? God changes to you based on what you do. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 26, let's take a look at chapter 26 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke to the officials of all the people, saying, "The Eternal sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words which you've heard." Now, here comes Jeremiah. He says, you know, I mean, it's going to be fire and brimstone, famine, pestilence, you know, drought, all this stuff. These are the kind of things that he pronounces. But then he says in verse 13, "Now, therefore, amend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Eternal, your God. And the Eternal, Yahweh, will change his mind about the misfortune which he has pronounced against you." You change, God will change. You change from your bad to good, God will change from the punishment to blessings. You change from good to bad, and God will change from the blessings to the cursings. We, in a sense, there's a word that can change God. It's prayer, it's our attitude, it's the way we live, it's the way we behave. Jeremiah chapter 38, beginning in verse 17. "Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah," this is Jeremiah 38, beginning in verse 17. "Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, 'Thus says the Eternal God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will indeed go out to the officers of the king of Babylon.'" Now, at this point, it was certainty the king of Babylon was going to conquer Judah. That was it. No question about it, that's it. But he says to him, if you'll just go out, surrender, go out to the officers of the king of Babylon, then you will live. Don't fight them. Don't fight the king of Babylon, because he's God's instrument now to come into this nation. Don't fight him. You will live. This city will not be burned with fire. Just go out and say, okay, here we are. Come on in. You know, we surrender. It will not be burned with fire. And you and your household will survive. But if you will not go out to the officers of the king of Babylon, then this city will be given over to the hand of the Chaldeans, and they will burn it with fire, and you yourself will not escape from their hand." Now, there's the prophecy. There's the word. Because God's going to do it, I'm going to give you a little tip. It's going to happen, but here's the way you can survive. And Jeremiah told him how to survive. So prophecy, you hear it. Suppose someone came to you. Suppose a prophet came to you and said, you know, here's what's going to happen to you because you've been misbehaving, you've been doing wrong, you've been doing evil, you've been doing hateful things, you've been lying, cheating, murderous thoughts, and so on. Well, let's say that this came to you and you said, I'm going to change. I'm going to repent. I'm going to stop. I'm going to change my life. Would you? What would you do if you knew that God came to you, that the message came to you, and this is what God said, and he pronounced it to you? Well, the whole point of prophecy, the whole point of these calamitous prophecies, is to get people to make a change. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, we find this principle in verse 22. Romans chapter 11. He finally comes in talking about, you know, for one Esau and Jacob, one he loved, the other he hated, you know, and so on. And about Pharaoh, and why did Pharaoh, you know, Pharaoh was an instrument in God's hands. But then he says in Romans 11, verse 22, "Behold then the kindness on one hand, and the severity, God's can be very kind and God can be very severe. Of God. To those who fell, and they fell in the wilderness, they fell, you know, they fall down because they were evil. To those who fell, severity. That's what they got. But to you, now Paul is talking to the people, the Christians in Rome, but to you, God's kindness. You know, you have to say that. People who fall from grace, fall from God, leave God. The severity, there can be severity. But to you, to those of you I'm talking to you, wherever you are, to you, God's kindness. But listen to this condition. If you continue in his kindness. So you get that if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. To those who were cut off and fell, there was severity. But to you, you get his kindness. It's you. You get the kindness if you continue in that kindness. To obey God, to follow his ways, to love him, to proceed properly. Otherwise, you will be cut off. You notice how we, by our actions, by our attitudes, control, in a sense, what God's going to do with us. What God's going to do to us. And what's the whole point of this? The whole point is for us to repent. The whole point of prophecies and the pronouncements of severity are for us to change our lives. And what does God want us to change to? What do you think God wants from us? What does he want? This beautiful passage in this verse in chapter 6 of Micah, dropping down to verse 8. He says, in verse 7, he says, does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? I mean, what can I give to God that will appease God for all my sins? Well, verse 8, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the eternal require of you? What I mean, it's not like God's going to demand you give him so much money, you give him so many gallons of oil, you give him so many flocks and herds of sheep. That's not what God wants. What does God want? But to do justly. To act with justice. To love kindness. It means mercy. It means hesed. It means the covenant kindness, the covenant mercy. To love that. And to walk in a humble, obedient way. Some translations say obedience. Walk humbly. That is, I do what you say, God. I follow you. I do what you want. To walk humbly with your God. Prophecy. I'm going to pronounce evil on these people unless they change. If they change, and what do they change to? To do what is good. To do justly, be just. To do kindly, merciful. And to walk humbly. You know, Jonah was right. I knew what kind of God you were, that you were compassionate, that you would love, and a God who relents concerning calamity. He relents when we walk in his kindness.